Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take a look again today at beautiful scriptures the church gives us in our daily readings. Today, we're remembering the life of St. Boniface, who was a bishop and martyr. And St. Paul instructs us again about, helps us understand what we've been given, the way of life that we've been called to, and the difference knowing Jesus and living in the power of the Holy Spirit, being fed by the wisdom of the church and the teaching of Scripture, the difference it makes in our lives. And it's so important for us to be able to, in this time of trial and difficulty, to lay hold of the graces and the source of help that God wants to give each and every one of us. So Paul begins in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 and following. He says, "You have followed my teaching and my way of life." That's what it means to be a disciple, really. He's describing there in one sentence. What's a disciple? A disciple is a follower, a learner of what? Of someone who's teaching. And what are they teaching? Not just data, not just like mathematical, you know, formulas or historical facts. He's teaching a way of life. Christianity was referred to in the apostles as the way. It's the way of the master. It's the way of the Lord Jesus. It's the way of the kingdom. It's the whole living out, the walking out the plan and the purpose of the kingdom of God, of becoming a member of the family of God and living under the reign and the authority of Jesus. It's important to see that, because it's very easy in the modern world to kind of think like, well, you know, all religions are kind of the same and you're just kind of tapping into your various kinds of forces or maybe common values and all that. No, 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 no. There's one Lord, there's one King, there's one Son of God who's bringing the life of God the Father to the earth, to us, to walk in. And so he said the way of life is characterized with purpose, with faith, he says here, with patience, with love, with endurance, with persecutions and sufferings. I love that Christian realism. It's got all the good stuff. Yeah, it's got a life of purpose. It's got a life of faith and patience and love. Then it starts to get a little more difficult. In endurance, got to endure through trials, and then persecutions and sufferings. This is where, for Paul, this is the normal Christian life. But this is for us, you know, moderns who've known very little suffering and persecution and trial. I'm not speaking for everybody. I don't know everybody, but most Americans, relatively speaking, we look at the rest of the world and we look at history, we're living almost like kings, comparatively speaking. We've had so much, even in the midst of our sufferings and trials. But it's easy for modern day disciples to have an attitude toward Jesus, is that, you know, to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus is to get blessed. And life is about blessing. And getting more and more blessing and more experience of blessing in our lives. God loves us and he wants to bless us. But he blesses us. One of the ways he blesses us is he allows us to be conformed to the life of Jesus and the life that Jesus lived here on earth. And it includes, as we've heard all week long, both the witnesses of martyrs as well as the very teaching of Jesus and the apostles, it includes trials. It includes difficulty and persecution. Peter will even go on to say in his first letter, he goes, why are you surprised? Why are you surprised by the fiery ordeal and the trials that you're enduring? This is life in a fallen world. And in particular, it's opposition to the king. There's another thing. We've lived in a culture, in a way of life, in the broader society, that for most of our lives has respected the way of life communicated by the gospel. Everybody wasn't forced to be a believer, but it's a society that respected God and the things of God. Now, that's shifting. It's changing. So some of the other things that Paul experienced as normal, persecutions, sufferings, and the like, for the sake of the gospel, he said, these are persecutions that I've endured. He's boasting in the Lord, but he's saying, this is part of the normal Christian life. He'll even go on to say, yet from all these things, the Lord delivered me. So he's speaking from experience. He could, look, I've been through all these kinds of trials and persecutions, and I'm here to tell you, the Lord was with me the whole time, and he delivered me. He gave me the strength I needed in the moment. He worked through me for his grace and his, for his glory and salvation of others. And then he delivered me. And my life is in his hands. Just because I'm suffering trial and life is uncomfortable, it doesn't mean something's gone haywire or something's wrong or that God has abandoned me. He's with us. This is a moment, friends, of this trial that we're living through can be a trial that produces a purer faith and a purer hope and a purer love in us if we cooperate with the Lord in it. He's with us and he wants us to stand and to declare that and to walk in it each day, one day at a time, in the midst of this trial. He wants us to live by his storyline for us, the truth about what he's given to us and who we are. And now when it's hard to affirm it because we don't feel it maybe in the same way, some of our comforts are gone, our securities are gone, and things that we leaned on, the props we've leaned on, they've been kind of kicked out from underneath us. And so now it's, okay, well, what does Christianity mean to me? What does living with and for Jesus look like? And what does it mean to me? And is it really the source of my strength? What is the source of my strength and my security and my identity? So that's a positive that can come out of this difficult situation we'd all like to escape from. Paul goes on. He said, in fact, all who want to live religiously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, most of us probably, as Americans or Canadians, those in the Western world, very few people have really been persecuted. They're there. And the numbers are actually growing because the culture and the way of life of the culture that we're living in has begun to change. So Paul doesn't want us to be surprised. He reminds us, as Jesus himself said, that the servant is not greater than the master. Jesus made it clear, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Something hasn't gone wrong. I often think of that first letter that I mentioned of St. Peter to brothers and sisters to the community that he was writing to in Asia Minor, and they were suffering. They were under trial. They were being persecuted. People were even being martyred. And he has a beautiful line in there where he's addressing them and reminding them and rejoicing that they know the treasure that they've been given in the Lord, who was raised from the dead, and he's their hope. He's their treasure and their portion. And at one point, he acknowledges the trial that they're going through. He's a good shepherd, and he knows how difficult it is. And he hasn't forgotten them. And he said, but despite the trial, and without having ever actually seen Jesus in the flesh, like Peter did, he said, without having seen him, you love him, and you're filled with unutterable and exalted joy. People living in trial, their lives on the line, some of them marginalized by society. They were radically countercultural because they refused to worship the idols that the culture around them worshiped. I mean, they didn't go out looking for a fight. They just were living and following in the footsteps of Jesus. And the culture was just so different than Jesus, and it didn't honor the things of God. And they were trapped in darkness and idolatry and the rest, all kinds of immorality. And the brothers and sisters said, you know, we can't live that way, and we can't honor Caesar as God or Lord because he's not Lord. He just isn't. And we can't pretend, we can't live a lie because Christ is in us. So we're living a different way of life. And as a result, they were persecuted. But the great thing is they're a witness to us of what God wants to produce, what the Spirit of God produces in those who walk in faith and trust and surrender to the Lord. He said, they were filled with unutterable and exalted joy, even though the things of this world were taken away from them. They had a treasure that was greater than everybody else around them. Everybody else around them thought, no, this is where it's at. It's being aligned with Caesar. It's having positions of influence and power. That means we also have, we can go to the right dinners, and we can go to the right celebrations, and we get great seats, and we're recognized, and we're rightly aligned with the powers that be, and it really brings a lot of bennies to us. It secures us. We're safe. Little did they know. What did the great saints tell us? That in this world, the spiritual battle that we're in, the way the devil often works is, if we're moving in the direction he wants us to move, he's not going to stand in the way. He's not going to make life difficult for us. He's going to say, just keep going. Just keep up the idolatry. Just keep building your treasures. Just keep pursuing these things and your pleasure and your honors. And he won't get in the way. He'll just keep encouraging. And the Lord will sting our conscience. Ignatius tells us, you know, he'll try to awaken us. He'll, through circumstances, he'll allow us to come to terms with that. But if we're following the Lord, the devil's going to come after us. And he's going to try to stop us. And he's going to try to put every obstacle in the way of our continued following. And so in this case, you know, Paul's talking about persecutions and sufferings. And so imagine sitting in a very cold, dank, dingy, smelly, horrible cell, prison cell. No light, bugs everywhere. And you're sitting there chained, miserable. And Paul could easily say, and here's the devil's temptation. This is your God. This is what he does to his friends. This is where, I mean, look at the decisions you've made. You used to be respected. You used to be a respected rabbi. People, you were full of zeal, and people, important people, understood who you were. They talked about you. You had plenty of, you know, comfort and safety and the rest, and you were on your way. And now look at where you are. You're a nobody. You're a criminal. And what good is the message you're giving? I mean, you're here in prison. And this isn't going to go anywhere, Paul. I mean, the devil's there to try to create a storyline other than the storyline that the king promised for Paul. And Paul's telling us, I laid hold of it. I endured even lots of persecution and hardship. And I'm telling you, the Lord delivered me. And you can count on it too. And don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that's in front of you, or that you're going to be persecuted. It's normal. We live in a fallen world. And Peter's like, stop acting surprised. Why are you surprised? He said, this is the pathway of our master. And this is the way ahead for us, all of us. Don't be afraid. He has your life in his hands. This happened to you because this is happening to you. He's permitting it to happen. He's got all the strength you need. Lean into him. If you try to do it on your own strength, it won't be enough. You're going to run out of steam. You're going to get bitter. You're going to be angry. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be envious. You're going to feel like you got ripped off. Where is God? That's what the enemy wants to do. No hardship in this life. Don't let the devil think at all. Don't let him try to write your story. Don't let him try to get you to believe your life isn't worth it. Are you kidding? You are united. You are united in the Spirit of God to the King of the universe, and God is in you, and his promises are unfolding in your life. Don't worry about the governments that are pressing in now, and they're getting, it's groovy for them to be more hostile to Christianity and the teaching of Jesus, and we're being forced to conform. I just saw some crazy thing in Canada, you know, they're pressing in, trying to use the force of government to tell, for example, Catholic schools, because they're tied to the government and they're supported by government money, that they can't teach chastity. They can't teach chastity. Why? Because chastity is a form of, when you're dealing with people who are practicing homosexuality or all these different things, that somehow you're trying to change them by teaching chastity. And so the pressure's coming in on the church. Let's not be afraid. Let's stand up with courage in the Lord. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.